If there's one thing we have control over when we're growing up, with any luck, it's our bedrooms. We decorate, arrange, rearrange, and sometimes destroy with the kind of mess our parents demand we clean up. Jeff Bauman tells a story of a more extreme approach to room arrangement, and to life in general.
I believe you can tell a lot about a person if you look around their room. So I'm going to give you a tour of my room, starting with the bookshelf. Each shelf within the unit is a different genre: sports, textbooks, automotive lit. In each section, the books are arranged in descending order of height from left to right, and the order is invariable. Death of a Salesman always goes immediately to the left of The Great Gatsby, even though they're the same height. Model cars fill up parking spots between rows of books held up by bookends. On my desk, the tape machine is at the far right, and the stapler is immediately left. These items both rest on top of a small white notepad, and a pencil can is directly behind them. The rest of the space is empty and dustless. The floor is entirely clear. Underneath the TV, the video games are sorted by console and genre in descending order of case height from left to right. And the order is invariable. Halo always goes immediately to the left of Call of Duty, even though they're the same height, console, and genre. The Xbox remote rests immediately to the left of the TV remote. This is the only configuration my room comes in. If one element is out of place, I know there's been an intruder. There's also a row of model cars on a canopy above my bed. And that one has a set order too, from left to right. Jaguar, Corvette, Viper, Ferrari, Camaro, blue Porsche, red Porsche, silver Porsche. I know this order from memory, not observation. And the spaces between the cars have to be even. Evenness is my thing. When I put on a sweatshirt, the strings coming from the hood have to be even. Same with shoelaces, drawstrings, backpack straps, and so on. Organization is also my thing. When I eat candies that have different flavors, like Skittles, Mike and Ike, or Smarties, I always sort them by color before eating them. I never sort M&Ms, though, because they're all the same flavor. At meals, I always eat the side dish before the main dish. That means potatoes before steak, fries before burger, and stuffing before turkey. For me, food is subject to quite a few rules. I won't eat fruit. Not because of some phobia or because I hate the taste. In fact, I have no conscious memory of ever eating a fruit. With three exceptions, I enjoy grapefruit, lime, and lemon. But all the other fruits I consider contaminated. Apples, bananas, grapes, cherries, pears, plums, kiwis, oranges, strawberries, mango, pineapple, etc. Contaminated by what, I don't know. But I won't touch them, let alone put them in my mouth. I won't touch cartons that carry fruit juice either, or glasses. You can probably guess the way I feel about Jamba Juice. Up until the time high school began, I wouldn't eat any vegetables either. Now, though, I've branched out a bit. I like lettuce, spinach, broccoli, carrots, peas, green beans. Something else I've grown into is still water. Growing up, I only drank carbonated water. Plain carbonated water at that, no fruit flavors, of course. That, like the vegetable prohibition, I've grown out of. But the fruit ban I've held on to since infancy. My friends in high school knew all these things, and they would ask me in all seriousness if I'd ever been checked out for OCD. It's a fearsome phrase, acknowledging that you have a disorder instead of mere personality quirks. I told everybody that I was just quirky, which I really believed. It was true. The quirks never got in the way of studying or anything else. That's where I draw the line between just being weird and having OCD. After I graduated high school, however, that line started to blur. Sometime shortly after the transition to college, the unwanted thoughts kicked into high gear. This is the side of OCD you don't get from watching Monk. Think of it as a broken mental filter. You see a gruesome image on TV, and there it is the next day during class with friends at the dinner table. Sometimes the image doesn't come from the media. Unprovoked images from daily life can crowd everything else out of your head. You miss a step going down the stairs, and you can't concentrate for hours. The compulsions are performed in some kind of irrational, feeble attempt to stop the obsessive thoughts. I remember tearing down an entire wall of posters one night and endlessly cutting them at the edges to make them straighter. I couldn't stop the thoughts myself, so I was prescribed medicine to help. Celexa, Lexapro, Clonopin, Trazodone for sleep. Racing thoughts often kept me awake at night, and I had plenty of time to think about my diagnosis, OCD. Taking medicine, there was no way around it. I didn't like the medicines, though, so I learned to live without them. The biggest part of that was controlling the obsessive thoughts. Other than the quirks about fruit and arbitrary order, that keeps compulsive behavior out of my daily life. But I realized that I wouldn't necessarily want to keep obsessive behaviors quite out of my life. In fact, just as much as I obsess about staying away from certain things, I obsess about keeping close to others. Like cars. Anyone who ever wanted to talk cars was an instant friend throughout my life. I never grew out of the boyish obsession with automotive technology. In fact, as a baby, I would scream a sort of caw sound at any passing object with wheels. Bus, train, motorcycle, it didn't matter. My roots to automobiles are deep. My first word, inspired by Speed Racer, was go. And my next word was car. Here's how I learned to read. My mother would accompany me out into a parking lot, and I would run my fingers over the labels on the backs of cars while she sounded out the words to me. Chevrolet. Between license plates and the makes and models of cars, my phonetic system was safely intact. As a young boy, I went through my construction equipment phase, but grew out of it. What I grew into was sports cars, any make or model as long as it was low, sleek, and fast. I drew them. I subscribed to Car and Driver for 9 years. After learning early in life to see the difference between makes of sports cars, I learned to hear the difference. When I visited family in distant cities, the one place I would ask to go was the local Ferrari dealership. My first job was at a car dealership. The funny thing is that neither of my parents gives a rat's ass about cars. But they took me to endless construction yards when I was young and car shows when I was older. And I could never get enough. But more importantly, like I said, I've learned to keep the obtrusive thoughts at bay. I can't completely get rid of them, but I can make sure that their impact is limited. And without music, that wouldn't be possible for me. I use music to keep the bad thoughts out. If it were up to me, life would be like a waltz. Consistent, steady tempo, prescribed steps, everything in a designed order. But this is a reality that exists for me only when listening to music, sheltered from the inherent chaos of life. This waltz by Chopin is one of hundreds of musical pieces that I take with me wherever I go. Not necessarily in my iPod, in my head. The same way I remember that I missed a stair step in Her Majesty's Theater in London 3 years ago, I can play back music in my mind, note for note, instrument for instrument. Certain things just don't leave my head. The way I see it, if my mind is a record that's bound to play over and over again, I might as well put on a good one. I find that with each repetition of a piece, it grows more and more beautiful. Sometimes I'll sit and listen to music for an hour at a time, uninterrupted. And not while doing something else, just listening. When I'm in this world, everything functions as it should. Every note is in its place exactly at the proper time. There's no crack on this seal that anxiety or uncertainty can sneak through. At any time of day, in as little as a 5-minute break, I can escape from a hectic, disorganized world into a place that brings me peace, quietude, and structure, in that order.
Jeff Bauman is an undergraduate at Stanford.